Another Super Rugby week finished, and it's a shortened week, a bye week, and we were pretty heavily against this last year, and we're going to continue this pattern of being heavily against fucking bye weeks because they're the most pointless things ever. Four games, four big results, as in big results being that there was four shellackings, really, and a pointless extra bye week just chuck in there. I just don't understand it. I don't understand it. When I'm all for player safety and player health and everything like that, but when you've got this an even number of teams, why not make the season shorter? It just doesn't make any sense to me going, let's rest four teams and then we just sit here and only have four games. I don't get it.
Yeah, why not just have a look? Just have a straight, have a bye week, and then it's just done. 1 week where everyone gets a break. So it does, that happens in Six Nations. They get two bye weeks, in fact. You know, it's better that than sort of a, like, it feels like a half-hearted attempt. Like, the next, we've got one, two, three of these rest weeks that it's like, I don't know, it just feels incomplete. It feels like, you know, like, if there were more teams, it would make sense to space it out like this. Since there are not that many teams, just, you know, rip the Band-Aid off. Just get it over and done with. Totally. All this just, like, yeah, four games in a round isn't enough. It's amateurish, really.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Yeah, to me, I just don't fully understand why. Like, there isn't a good valid reason you can give me why. Like, if you're saying player safety, why we don't have buys for the first 6 weeks of the comp, and they seem to, like, again, like, coaches, especially with now, especially that players have been rested, you see coaches are already thinking about this, like, Blues rested some players, not this week, but the week before. We talked heavily about DMAC being rested against the Crusaders.
Yeah.
I don't understand why we're doing a bye week then. And even, like, if we are to do it, I agree with you. Take the full week off. Every single team gets a break. We do some, you know, all-star show or some fun in games on that weekend where it's like a skills competition, something like that, where it's, you know, not going to be physically demanding on the players, not a full game or anything like that, but a goal kicking comp between all the goal kickers, who can kick the ball the furthest, maybe a 100-meter sprint, to all of those type of things. Host a bit of a weekend like that, and just, yeah, then get the buys out of the way.
Yeah,
done.
You know what was on this weekend? It was the Rugby Sevens. The Rugby Sevens. You know,
exactly.
It lines up at the same time as well. You've got another one in a month's time in May in Singapore. We just had Hong Kong. Month before that was LA, right? Yeah. At the start of March, end of May, start of June. You've got it. Where is it? Is it Madrid?
Yeah, Madrid's the finals of it. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you know. So if you want to push the bye week back, you can do that as well. Like, that's the thing. Like, you can highlight these other parts of rugby. Or, you know what else has been going on? The women's Super Rugby as well. Take a chance to highlight the women's Super Rugby in this time. You know, there's so many other things that you can do to fill that space if you just take the week off. And that way it's unilateral for all teams. And then we get back into the swing of competition. You know, it's 1 week. Yeah, it's just, I don't like it. I really don't like it.
Yeah, nor do I. So the four games that they hosted, like, were we expecting any real different results than the results we got? You know,
I think the Rebels and the Dura, maybe.
Even that, we know the Dura can't play away from home, and then they lost their heads in that game anyway. So, look, I look at those four matchups and I go, there's nothing about this round that shouts at me that I wanted to watch any of it. And in all fairness, I didn't watch any single game. Like, didn't bring it up, didn't watch it. I had the live score updates going, but as soon as the Blues started to get on top of the Force, game over. Chiefs against Moana Pacifica, same thing. Then you just had the Rebels and the Druida, and again, I just think until the Druida sort out their away form, it's going to be ill and void any of their games that they go away in, and it showed because the Rebels aren't that good of a team, and now they're up in, what, fourth spot, I think?
I think they're sixth.
Sixth? They're fifth or sixth. Did they just not move up? I swear I saw it. Only because of the game ahead. It might be fifth.
They are fifth.
They are fifth.
They're fifth. They're, again, they're an extra game ahead of the Reds.
Exactly. So it's not like, but again, and the four teams they've beaten, let's be honest, Moana Pacifica, the Force, the Waratahs, and the Druid, who are all more than likely are looking at the staring down the barrel of being the four teams not playing in the finals. So I kind of go, not an impressive win. And again, not that big of a fixture that you have on the cards as Rebels with Drua in Melbourne. Now, on top of that, then the final game, Waratahs versus Brumbies, is a good game. Is a game that you're willing to watch. But the season form of the Tars has made this game, again, a little bit disappointing, and it showed out in the result that we got. So I just go, four games, I think that the points differential between winners and losers must have averaged 30 points, which isn't good for any competition when you're getting results like that. To me, it just, again, it just screamed bye week rugby, and it's so fucking disappointing.
Look at this next week as well. Moana Pacifica and Reds. Waratahs Crusaders? Question mark, maybe. Hurricanes Chiefs? Now, that's going to be a good game. Rebels Highlanders? In Melbourne? Maybe it's a good game. Maybe the Rebels show up. Another question mark like the Waratahs Crusaders, but one certified good game this week, two question marks, and one what should be pretty one-sided result if the Reds are for real this year.
Yeah.
Next week, you've got the Dura and Hurricanes, where the Dura are hosting, so that'll be a good game. Reds and Highlanders in Queensland, though, so probably go the way of the Reds. Blues and Brumbies in Auckland probably will be one-sided, I would think. Unless the Brumbies, I know they're too so inconsistent. It depends on which Brumbies team show up, and then Force Crusaders in Perth, a question mark. So, you know, it's not the greatest slate of games, but yeah, it feels like they're saving the schedulers are saving the best games for other weeks, or maybe sprinkling one in here or there. But just having only four games, it just for me, it's like I just don't like it. It's just better to keep it six games around, because then you keep your fans engaged over the entire 2 days, you know, like that Saturday of full of Super Rugby is such a good day to have. To only have two games, it just feels like I'm expecting more at this stage, you know.
100%, and it disrupts the middle of the season. Like, it's like, okay, we're in good momentum, Super Rugby, a lot of good things happening, good results, close games, and then we hit this point, and it's just like flat lines. And like, it's an opportunity, as we've said, to do something else. Even if you said, hey, we'll take all four games over to Fiji, Samoa, Tonga and do, you know, a Pacific round. Or we go, hey, we'll take all four games, we'll be in New Zealand for this bye week.
Yeah.
And we'll do bang, bang, bang. And then four games in Australia. And you do something like that. Something, I don't know, to spice it up. You know, you go Pacific round, New Zealand round, Australia round type thing.
Yeah.
Just to, because as we say, there's just nothing to it. Like, four games done, like, I'm sitting there like, did a round even happen? Like, what was the point of it? Like, yeah, to me, Super Rugby, if you can justify it, then yes, sweet. But I can't see, I honestly would imagine the TV ratings were down for this round, I imagine. I'd be surprised that they don't take a while to pick back up after the bye rounds are done. I think attendance would be down. I just go, it just breaks up what we don't like, you know, a good momentum that we were on. It just stops it in its tracks, and I just... Yeah, I will not forgive them until they give me a decent answer that if this is a player health thing, then if you can show me the science and the stats behind it, that they need these buys, then okay, sweet. But again, I think there's other ways to do that, and I don't think this is the way. Specifically, when I'm looking at European rugby and we compare it to there, European rugby, you know, the Champions Cup games just happened over the weekend, and their season runs for fucking ever. They get about a two-month break, and... You don't even really hear about buys. I don't even know if there's any buys. I don't think there's a buys in premierships. They have their breaks, but they don't have buys or anything. It's like, what? You're a 12-team competition. It's even numbers. Where the fuck does a buy come in? I understand it when you've got 32 teams in, like, the NFL, and yes, it can do justice to break up a season, but you have 12 fucking teams. Like, it's stupidity.
We also play more games in the NFL as well.
If we go to compare it to a sport, let's compare it to the NRL, whose bye weeks happen during what? During State of Origin. Makes a shitload of sense, doesn't it? Like, you've got the biggest event of the year happening.
Well, yeah, previously to having an odd number of teams, that's when the bye weeks occurred. Now, because they have an odd number of teams, one team a week does have to have a bye. So it makes sense. There's two, the logical explanation, the leap from the before to now. Before, it was during State of Origin period.
Makes a lot of sense. They still have buys during State of Origin period.
Yeah, yeah, but it's like it's added on that next step of also now there's an odd number of teams. Now, every week there is one team having a bye.
Which, again, like say we go to 13 teams, obviously, you can't not have a bye. It's understandable. And maybe that is the next logical fucking step is, hey, we have 13 teams, so every team gets a bye week and we don't have to do these stupid bye. But even when the NRL does do their bye weeks in the middle of the season, guess what? Their biggest showcase in rugby league is on. Like, State of Origin is on. Everyone knows why these buys are happening. It's because... And they, what are they banging out 26 rounds? What, we can't be banging out, we're not banging out 26 rounds, are we? You play everyone once, play your teams in your country twice or something like that. Like, whatever, I think we're 18 rounds. I just sit there, I go, this is stupidity.
Yeah. Well, you know, speaking of expansion and stuff, or the opposite expansion where we had retraction, where the Rebels might have been going out of Super Rugby, they're... During the week, it was reported that there was some chances of there was a venture capitalist group or someone looking in to be the Melbourne Rebels' saviour. The last thing they needed was for one of their fans to get kicked out of the stadium for yelling racial slurs at a Fijian Dura player. So the situation was this. Frank Lomani, halfback for the Fijian Dura. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to say he was reckless rather than intentional. Josh Canham was clearing out a ruck. Went past the ruck, probably wasn't really aware of what he was doing, pushed Lomani back. Lomani was trying to get him off because he's not part of the ruck anymore. He's like, get off me. He miscalculated. He was reckless. He was stupid. And he ended up elbowing Canham in the back of the head, right? Rather than just simply pushing him off or something like that. I don't think it was malicious because looking at it and the way he's doing it, it didn't look malicious. It was dumb and it was reckless, which is just as dangerous. But I'm going to give him the character benefit of the doubt there. After he was escorted off, he went and sat down in his bench area where he's supposed to sit down. One or more Rebels supporters, at the moment it looks like it was just one, because only one was escorted out, although he was encouraged by others, called him a black C-word. And then he allegedly said, do you want to break a chair that you can't pay for? Now, that kind of racial abuse has got absolutely no place in rugby or any other sport, or really any sphere of life whatsoever. And that fan was escorted from the stadium. Hopefully he's banned from all future games. A bunch of fans screamed at him when he came off, and then one of them yelled the racial abuse. Apparently security was pretty terrible about it and had to get asked by supporters of the Dura to take him out. Other Rebels fans were very embarrassed by it. I've seen them apologizing online. And it's just disgraceful that someone did this. And look, hopefully justice is meted out. They're banned for life. And you know, no organization needs that. No organization needs that type of fan. If that's the type of fan you are, you're not welcome in any sports club. At least no sports club decent people want to be a part of.
Totally, 100%. And it's, I agree with you, all the things coming up. Like, how many times do halfbacks get cleared out or grabbed it and they throw a little swipe? And Lomani, obviously, in the wrong, caught an elbow, and you definitely can't leave with any elbows anywhere. But yeah, there's no place for this. And it brings up an interesting, like, I've been thinking about it more and more. Like, obviously rugby started, posh schoolboys. It is a very elitist sport in certain places. And especially England, where it was came from, Australia, you know, like there's the schoolboys at a lot of private schools, and even in New Zealand. And I was just thinking, you know, like this is obviously not something, like rugby... It has always built that it's a game for everyone. Again, you got front rowers who are, you know, 120, 130 kilos that wouldn't be able to play many other sports other than rugby. And it's something that we continuously push. And I think it's always almost been like, because it is so inclusive and there are so many players and this and that, of colour and of, you know, white, black, anything, that it doesn't get talked about enough. And I just think, like, these moments highlight still how far I think society has to come, obviously, but also rugby has to come with, yes, we've got one of the, I would say, one of the most culturally, like, expansive base of players, like Fijian all the way to Samoan, all the way to, you know, Japan, to South African, to European. We're over, you know,
Argentina,
many countries.
Yeah.
Exactly. All over the world, we have a whole lot of different cultures. And I still think rugby has an issue with understanding how to get some of those cultures involved in correct positions. And I was thinking about this, and I'm going to push this question to you. Can you name a black referee?
It's a good, very good question. No.
Now,
actually,
if you actually look up on, like, the World Rugby site and go into the World Cup match officials, and you look at the match officials, the assistant referees, and TMO, they're all white. Now, again, this isn't me saying that, like, World Rugby's racially choosing white. Again, I imagine players in white are choosing to go into the referee scene more than, again, a Fijian or anything like that. But it just opened up the question that, again, whenever we talk about, like, head positions in rugby, they tend to be white males, again. And we're pushed so much for females and this and that and female referees that I was like, why can't there be a Fijian rugby referee? And just positions of – and I think that starts to break down barriers. And I Googled it, and there was – and I've forgotten his name already. But I remember as well, there was a black referee from South Africa – who did a whole lot of Super Rugby games. He's on a sabbatical, also was in the Sevens and everything like that. But I just went, there is obviously unconscious bias everywhere in the world. And I just thought, you know, like, I've played rugby all my life. Big Samoan, Fijian guys, they hit harder than any white guy I've ever been hit by. And there is no doubt about that. And so that sets a bias to me already, like, they're going to hit harder. As soon as you see something go wrong, does it play into the fact that, hey, they hit harder and everything like that? Again, I'm not sitting here saying any referee's racist. I'm not sitting here saying World Rugby's racist. I just, at this moment was like, again, rugby is built and came from, you know, white people doing it at an elitist level, that I think we lose sight sometimes that we have a whole group of cultures playing this. And we need to be more inclusive of what they do. And I just think this highlights it extremely well. Like, you know, a white Melbourne fan yelling at a Fijian rugby player about a chair he couldn't afford, who Frank Lomani is probably one of the better rugby players in the world, could probably get a contract worth near on hundreds of thousands of dollars and make a lot more money than anyone in that stadium probably was making. It's just, you can just tell, like, that is just so disgusting to a person to say. But it did, it opened my eyes. I was like, I don't want to say we're a racist sport, because I don't think we are, but there is definitely holes that rugby is yet to fill, which to me was really interesting. And this just took the cake. When you start hearing shit like this, obviously you need to wipe that out. And I agree with you, a lifetime ban would serve well for anyone who's seen doing this in it. Yeah, just because we can't possibly have that in our game. But yeah, I guess it's an interesting topic point. And there was something I NFL this season, they did someone, I can't remember who did the tweet, you may know better than me, but they said an all-black team would beat an all-white team in the NFL. And
Rashad Mendenhall did it.
There you go. And I sat there and I go, and we might have to do this next time just for, you know, a bit of fun and games. Would an all-black rugby team beat an all-white rugby team? Now, they've obviously got the power size advantage. And I was like, that would be one of the most interesting, obviously. This was all said in, you know, theatrical and theoretical points. But it would be an interesting topic. Because, again, as I said, there is such a culturally diverse group of rugby players. Off the top of my head, I wouldn't want to pick. If we're going all time, like, I'm probably taking the black rugby team. I don't know if there's a winger better than Lomu. Again, I think there's more and more black smart first fives coming in that, you know, that this game's changing. I'm looking at it and I go, I just don't think.
Thanks for setting me up to have to then pick the all white team and defend that and become the face of white supremacy in rugby. Thanks, man. Really appreciate it.
Well, you got Richard McCaw and Dan Carter.
Mate. You just fucking hospital passed that one to me for social media.
No, mate. We might play around and do a bit of a fantasy draft or something like that. Have a bit of fun with it. But it is.
Put it up on the Instagram for a poll.
Yeah. Who would win? Last little point today. One of our friends at the show, Angus Bowell, who we both adore very much, has done some fantastic work outside of rugby. Is one of the best Australian rugby players kind of going around at the moment. And it obviously hurts that he's such a nice guy, and I have to dislike him a little bit because he's a wallaby. But he has got another injury, which absolutely effing sucks, and I believe it's the same injury as last time. Like, you think about it and
it's not confirmed yet, but they're saying it looks scarily like the same injury as last time, which really sucks because he missed all of last season because he decided to take the more extreme surgical option to try and prevent re-aggravation of the injury. Maybe it hasn't worked, which is awful for him because he's missed so much time because of trying to take that step and do the right thing. I just feel for the guy because he is a tremendous talent, and to keep having it cut short by injury and such an annoying foot injury as well, it's just, it's awful.
It's terrible. It's a big toe, I believe, is the issue.
Yeah, it's the tendon behind his big toe.
Which, you know, rugby, obviously a very physical sport. He's a prop, and you just sit there and you go, like, of all the injuries, you know, you hit ACLs, you do this, you knocks and stuff. A big toe must be the most frustrating thing for someone like, you know, it's just...
Especially for a prop that needs to push in a scrum.
Yeah, like, it's not like he can do the... Is it Angus Crichton who just chopped off a finger and was like, let's just get rid of it. He can't just chop off a big toe, unfortunately. But it would be the most annoying thing to be sitting on the sideline, having to deal with that, watching the Waratahs, you know, struggle, and watching, you know, his early career passing by. Now, again, he's only 23, which is awesome for his eventual career, but hopefully he can get this sorted, they can get this fixed, and he can spend a bit more time on the field, because the more time he spends on the field, the better it is for him, the better it is for Australian rugby, the better it is
absolutely for
the Wallabies.
Yeah. Look, it's going to, you know, the Waratahs could ill afford to lose him, already struggling a lot, going to struggle more without his physical presence there. You know, luckily, Lachie Swinton's come back and looked half decent, definitely looked a bit smarter than he has previously, which is good because he'll bring some of that physicality as well. But, you know, it's hard. Props are hard to come by, especially good quality props. Waratahs, in pretty dire straits at the moment.
I'm going to put you on the spot. Super Rugby, obviously. Four teams miss out in the finals. If we're talking about those four teams right now, what four teams do you think miss out?
Force, Waratahs, Moana Pacifica, and Highlanders, I think. I think just because of scheduling. Yeah. So I think the Crusaders will probably make it in. They'll probably sneak in the bottom half there. I think the Rebels will also sneak in the bottom half as well. I expect Rebels will probably be 8, Crusaders 7, right? The Rebels have got a bit of a rough stretch coming up. So it's equally likely that they don't win another game as well, and the Rebels could completely drop off. That's entirely possible as well. And the Waratahs or the Highlanders take a couple games here and there and put themselves into contention. I don't know if I see the Waratahs doing it. I think the Highlanders are probably more likely to do it. Let me relook at the schedule here.
Rebels really need to win this game against the Highlanders. This could be the season on the line.
This will probably decide at the game between the Rebels and the Highlanders here and now, considering it's played in Melbourne. Other than that, because Highlanders, I think, have got a bit of a better run home. Yeah, they play Moana Pacifica. They play the Force. Where's the Force game? There's the Force game. The Force, Moana Pacifica, host the Crusaders, host the Dura. So there's some winnable games in there for them. So it'll come down between those ones. I don't think Moana Pacifica will make it this year. I'm confident in my bottom two teams, the Force and the Waratahs.
Yeah.
Right? I'm confident those are the bottom two teams. Then it's Rebels, Highlanders, Moana Pacifica. Two of those three will miss out, and it'll be one of those that will make it. The Rebels, simply just because they have a two-game head start on the Highlanders, are probably in the driver's seat for that. And if they take this game from the Highlanders this week, they probably got it, considering that, I mean, they're hosting the Highlanders, so this is their best chance, really. Yeah. Of all their remaining games, this is their best chance.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not too far off. I think I would be the same. Looking at the Druid's schedule as well, they've got enough home games there that they probably tick over. So, yeah, I think it'll come down to Highlanders and Rebels, because if the Rebels don't, say they win this game against the Highlanders, they'll be on 5 wins, and I believe... Yeah. If we go back to 2023, 5 wins can get you in. So two teams, yeah. The Reds and the Highlanders, finished on 5 wins. So, yeah, it could come down to that again, who's points differential, bonus points, all of that stuff. So, very interesting end of the season.
The Rebels have got 3 bonus points already as well. Highlanders have got 3 too, but, you know, still it's good that they have some in the bank.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This game this week actually is a pretty big week for both teams if they want to push on to the finals, which makes it interesting that, you know, the Rebels have just come off the back of it again, bye weeks. You're fucking joking me. It's a bye week. But the Rebels have just come off against a physical game against the Druida, obviously. And now the Highlanders have had a bye week and they're coming in fresh. So, like, is that really safe for the Rebel players if we're going to sit here and talk safety? That they've just, you know, been elbowed in the back of the head and then they're going to get a full-forced Highlanders team running it straight at them. Don't get me started on the boys again. I'll lose the plot. Interesting end of the season. Again, another 2 weeks of buys, and then we can start to pick up some real momentum as we head to the finals and really find out who our top 8 teams are. And don't get me started that it's a top 8 still as well. I fucking think that's a travesty. It should be top 6, but again, life goes on. Alrighty, that is us for today. Thank you for joining us. I've been Luke, that has been Husey. We are actually the rugby booth, not the sports booth anymore, even though you've heard that for so long, because all we do is talk about rugby. But yeah, we will be back again next week, same time, same place. Thank you for joining us. Goodbye.
Peace.